Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by TechWeb, the technology supersite, the latest news and features about computers, computing, and high-tech finance. You can find it at www.techweb.com. Every day, John Carroll holds forth on the back page of the Living section of the San Francisco Chronicle, the largest newspaper in Northern California. While he's little known outside the San Francisco Bay Area, he's probably the most cyberspace-savvy daily newspaper columnist in America. He's worked at Rolling Stone, We, and New West magazines. He doesn't always write about the Internet, but when he does, it's with great insight and perspective. We asked him to share that insight with us.
You've indicated in your column that the media seems to go pretty much hysterical when the word Internet appears in a news story. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. They don't understand the Internet. Insofar as they understand the Internet, they understand it as a threat in two ways. First of all, they perceive it as an economic threat, which I'm not really sure it is, but they perceive it as another form of information delivery, another form of media. So if you're getting your news off the Internet, you're not getting your news off the thing that you're selling on the newsstand or pushing through television or something like that. They also perceive it as, this is a little bit more sophisticated, but as many-to-many communication as opposed to one-to-many communication. So their grip, not just on the economics of media, but on the content of media, is loosened. Because on the net, at least on the best parts of the net, if you say something that's not true, there is an instant correction about whether it's not true. And the person who says something that's not true, either stupidly or willfully, is made to feel low and small and stupid as a result of having done that. The third thing is the media in general are looking for sensation. They have found a ready, seemingly inexhaustible source of sensation because the net is just like life. Every aspect of life happens in its virtual sense on the net. And since most of the aspects of life in meat space are commonplace, they get boring, you can't do it. But if you transfer it to the Internet, it becomes interesting again, becomes fascinating again. Children reading pornography, not a big deal. Children reading pornography plus the Internet, major deal. Credit card fraud, no big deal. Credit card fraud plus the Internet, big deal. It even applies for human interest stories. People falling in love, no big deal. People falling in love on the Internet, big deal. It's like they have this entire alternate universe in which all the old stories have become fresh again.
That is not an entirely new phenomenon, though, isn't it? Newspapers have found other keywords that enable them to refresh the same old stories, haven't they?
When I was a lad, it was hippies, and it was everything that hippies did. Hippies plus life equaled news. Anything that young people are doing right now. I mean, whatever the sort of social and mating rituals of people who feel alienated from mainstream society are a source of alarm and sensation. Skateboards, inline skating, tattoos, piercing. I mean, those are the big four right now.
You've been called the most cyber-aware daily journalist in America. Is that a fair designation? And regardless of its fairness, how did you get there?
I have no idea whether it's fair because I don't read anything like every daily journalist in America. I got there entirely by luck. What happened was in 1987, I was tired of working in the office and became aware that I could work at home through the miracle of modems and send it in. And so I told them, I said, I want to work at home. And I had enough clout at the paper that was okay, provided I kept turning in five columns a week. So that's what I did. And at the very same time, a guy named David Gans told me, you have to get on the well. And I didn't know what it was. And I got on, and it turned out to be a medium that rewarded people who wrote quickly and cleverly. And all of a sudden, here was another place where you could get all sorts of attention and interest and, you know, kind of online laughs for doing that. And there was a time for 3 years in which I was, as far as I knew, the only daily columnist who was getting ideas for columns off the net that were not ideas about the net. I would get stories about politics. I would get stories about music. I would get stories about movies and books and all sorts of things from reading what people had to say on the well. I was using it as a resource, the way other people use magazines and daily newspapers and all of that. It was just another source. It was a source of smart people who were really different than me. Really had different tastes, different ideas, different ways of looking things, entrances into different worlds. So I learned about a whole bunch of stuff, and it made me seem smarter than in fact I was.
You've been listening to Insider Profile, brought to you by TechWeb, the technology supersite. The latest news and features about computers, computing, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.techweb.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.